Recording.
Oh.
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. It is Wednesday, December 10th, 2025, and this is a collective bargaining session with the a team from the UCF chapter of the United Faculty of Florida and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. The first thing that we do at every meeting is look at the minutes from our last meeting, which in this case was held on November 19th. The minutes are displayed right now.
Okay.
Those look okay, Robert?
Yeah, the minutes look good.
Okay. Anybody have any anything they see needs to be changed on the minutes?
No.
Okay. I think we have our minutes taken care of. Thank you, Charlie, for displaying those for us. Robert, we communicated by email, and there are a couple of things that your team, I know, wants to share with us. So we look forward to hearing from you.
All right. So are you ready, Chuck?
I am ready.
All right. So the first thing we're going to do is Article 20, and then we're going to present an Article 23, at least Talat's going to present Article 23. But for Article 20, we just might be interested in signing off on it. Here's the issue we have right now, which we can resolve rather quickly, is I think I was giving altogether three or four Article 20s, so I want to be sure we're signed off on the correct Article 20. So if you don't mind, could you quickly go through the changes in Article 20 that we would be signing off on? And we can sign off on the document today if they are what we recollect in our meeting. How does that sound?
It sounds wonderful.
So what I have is I have Article 20, the BOT number 2, which I think still has, does it have the comments on it? Oops, let me enable content. I'm not seeing, do you remember? Oh, here we go. So yes, this is probably the one that has all the comments in it. And then I saved it without the comments as, you know, and accepting all changes for a possible TA version. Mm-hmm. So Chuck, if you want to walk through that. Just tell me where you want to go.
I mean, I think there's only two changes, right, Chuck?
It's minimal. There are, I think, two changes we made. This is one where we resequenced a couple of the points in there. In our opinion, it just flows better to talk about the grievance forms in C rather than D if you're going to refer to them in D rather than C. So that is no change to the language. It's simply a resequencing of those two points. I think there also were a couple of places where we had gone back and forth between teams about whether there was going to be a 45-day or a 30-day chance to respond. And with the understanding that, you know, we've signed off on the MOU, we were accepting your most recent proposal to us, which was 30 days again. At one point, you had suggested 45. It went back to 30. We'll accept the 30. We're very satisfied with that. And I think there is one other change beside that, Charlie. That's the 30 days that I was talking about there.
Right.
Oh, yes. We had asked to make it extra clear that grievances that are started at step two would be able to have a postponement period of up to 30 days if that was desired. I think that was always the case. It was always our intention. Well, we just thought it was better to explicitly state that here, that there is this opportunity for postponement. And I think that's the some of the changes. But Charlie, please scroll through. And then the footnote, of course, that points to the MOU. So that's okay. Two changes in 230 days.
That looks like the one we examined in our caucus. So we'll sign off on this one then.
I can redo it just to make sure that it's absolutely accurate. So, I think I sent you a possible TA version last time, and it should be identical to this one. But I'll double check.
Okay? Yeah, let's make sure it's right. And on behalf of our team, I want to thank you and your team, Robert, for reaching this point on Article 20. I think this is an example of how we can really do something good for the members of the bargaining unit together. You had proposed something that you had seen from FAU, which we modified it a little bit. We've gone back and forth on it, but we've got now an optional step that would be available in the midst of step two. And we've been able, it's not arbitration. I know it's not arbitration, but we've tried to get that independent voice, I think is what you were hoping to get. We got that in there, and I just appreciate that we were able to do that together and get to this point. So thank you very much for helping us get here.
Thank you for the kind words, Chuck.
Very welcome. And I guess you wanted to talk to us about Article 23.
Sir, Talat will do that. I'm done on this session.
Wait a second. So, okay. So,
and this is going to be in English, not Spanish, right, Talat?
Well, you know Spanish pretty well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
okay. So let's see. When I do sharing my screen, somehow in Zoom, I can share. But here, when I share it, do you see Article 23 on it?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. You might want to make it bigger by clicking.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to do that. And maybe.
You may have to make it bigger before you start sharing, though.
Okay. Okay, so let me try, but I think it's not allowing me to do that. So I think I'm going to stop share. Oh boy, we should have stayed with Zoom, but we didn't. So wait a second. Let me see if I can do anything here. Let me get rid of that. So I'm trying. Okay, there.
It worked.
Yeah. Okay. All right, the people coming and I'm admitting them. Okay, can you see it now?
Yes.
Okay, so actually there's not a, we just wanted to mention a few things here. I think, the points of agreement, and of course, we're still far apart, but essentially we have been speaking or hearing from members of our bargaining unit, and we're being directed by them to essentially look for ways by which everyone can get a percentage raise. So that seems to be really the point that at which everyone, they feel that this is not the time to be compromising, and the offer that we have on the table from you all, which is $1,000 if your salary is above $125,000, and $1,500 if it is below that is really not what we were expecting at all, and particularly because of the preeminent status. I mean, we've gone through this all of this last time, so I won't repeat everything, but we have been told over and over again, and I think I've sent you the results of the survey that we had, that over 90% of our colleagues say who responded, and we had a very good response. They say that this is not something to be settling with, and so we would really like to see that you go back to the administration and see if there are ways in which funds could be found. The other is that we have not yet gotten an understanding about where the money went. I know that Rebecca was here, but we did not last time, but it wasn't clear to us at all about how funds have been spent. We have examples of other universities where they have sat down and they've been able to make arrangements, at least in the budget, by moving items around, particularly because what we're looking for are non-recurring funds. And again, I think you corrected me last time about how much it costs to get a percentage raise. So if it is 1%, what did we say, Chuck? That
I think it's 2.1 million.
2.1 million. So it's, so 1% raise would be $2.1 million. 2% will be $4 million and so on. So we're basically looking at that range to get any percentage raise. And as I mentioned to you last time, almost all, except for one university, everyone has gotten a raise, and the raise has been between 1.5 and 3%. So we feel that, this is something that funds can be found at USF, which is just next door to us. They already have made an offer, which Robert mentioned that last time as well, which again, the bargaining unit there thinks it is too little. I believe, Robert, their offer is 3%, and that they're not willing to accept. So the upshot is that my colleagues in the bargaining unit are convinced that funds can be found, and this is a slap in the face. This is not a recognition for all the hard work that everyone has done to get us to the point of being preeminent. I mean, this is a very big achievement, which we're very proud of, and we feel that, it's really not justified that we get no raise. The other is that, again, I should mention that what bothers everyone quite a bit is that it is not that nobody gets raise at UCF. We have a listing of all the raises that administrators have gotten. And over the last 3-year period, the average raise for administrators is, depending on exactly which ones you're counting, it could be any, some have gotten beyond what I'm going to say, but the average seems to be something of the order of 22%. So if there are colleagues who are already making very good salary, can get raises anywhere from 15% to 75%. Certainly, some funds can be found to give raises to people, some of whom make even less than 50,000. So, we're talking about people who are not able to survive in Orlando. And so this is coming to the point where I don't know how it can be sustained and how the morale at the place can be sustained, because this is really problematic. So that's why I have not made a big change in what we are asking, because we think that we had already gone to the limit, to the lowest limit. And so, the one-time payment, what we have here is the same. And as the last one, and where we are, we have made accommodation is essentially in the numbers of RIA and TIPS. So I'm just going over there because these items have not changed. If we go down, then I think the number that you had was 115, right, Chuck? It's the number of incentive awards. So we are fine with that. So we will take back what we were requesting and go back to what you have here, which is 55 for TIP and 60 for RIA. And so that would make a total of 115. And then we also will take out the statement that we had with the ADIs, which about keeping 30%. So I'm going down the list here, so the rest is the same. And so I think, let's go down. I think it's right at the end. And nothing, no change here. Yeah, so we basically striking out the sentence which said that 30% of ADIs must be reserved exclusively for compression and inversion. So that we're striking that out. Otherwise, the rest is the same. But, and again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I do want to emphasize that we all believe in the good of the university. We all believe in having good morale, good camaraderie, good environment. And that cannot happen if people are not given any raise. And at the same time, you know, administrators are being given very heavy raises. And that is just, you know, I mean, it's just not, it's untenable. And, you know, if we were not going to get any raise, then it would have made sense to declare that no one at UCF is getting a raise. But that's not really the case. And to argue that the work that faculty and staff and, you know, everyone in the bargaining unit and staff who are not in the bargaining unit, that they don't deserve a raise, but the higher administrators do, absolutely doesn't make any sense. I don't think the place would get preeminence if it wasn't for the work of the faculty and the staff and everybody else. So everybody, you know, and people who are paid less actually have to work even harder. And the whole burden, you know, this getting the, what is it, 60% of graduation rate and all that happens because people who teach a large number of courses are really putting in the effort to make sure that these students, you know, graduate and do well. And so they've taken on extra load. And these are also the people who are not making a lot of money. So I'm really, really, it bothers me to even go through this. But if the provost and the president of this university cannot sit down and think about what havoc they're creating by not even giving a modest raise, then I don't know what we can tell people. I find it really reprehensible. And every other university is doing it, and we are in the same situation, same, you know, state, same legislature, same kind of funding constraints, but they can find it and UCF cannot find it. And UCF has been putting in money in all kinds of places. You know, maybe there has to be some accounting of what went wrong. You know, was there a mismanagement of funds? Was funds spent where they shouldn't have been spent? And why wasn't faculty a priority? Why was that not the case? That's, you know, you're talking about, you know, we're asking for 4%, right? We just said 1% is 2.1 million. 2% would have been 4.2 million. You couldn't find 4.2 million? I mean, give me a break. You know, I'm sorry. It's really unacceptable. And I'm going to stop. It's later in the day for me, so I'll stop. Thanks.
Well, Talat, I want to thank you for sharing this new proposal with us. I appreciate the thoughtful way that you've shared it with us. I appreciate that the UFF is offering some concessions compared to their you know, your previous proposal. All that, you know, is appreciated, and I'm happy to, you know, share that with the provost and the president's office on this. And, you know, I can make no promise. There are a couple of things that I want to mention. And since you already indicated that sometimes you feel like you're a broken record, I'm running the same risk, I guess, of sounding a bit like a broken record. And I apologize for that. I mean, I know the university is very excited about achieving 12 of these 13 metrics for preeminence. So it does appear that UCF is qualified for preeminence. It is not official yet. And until it's official, there's not going to be any additional funding that becomes available. And I get it that it'd be nice if the day we realized we get to the 12th metric that everybody was working so hard on, it would have been great if if the money was available then, but it's not. And it turns out it's almost a year until that becomes available after achieving that metric. So, you know, the president was clear in September that taking care of the people that got us to preeminence is important, but the funds to do that are really coming from the next fiscal year. It's not money that we have right now. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to take this proposal and share it with the provost and the president's office. I will do that. But the real opportunity to reward people is going to come later. And it's just the way it is. The money for preeminence isn't here yet.
But Chuck, the thing is that why is it that we do not get a clear response? Why is it that we don't even get that, okay, if that money comes, then this will happen? No, basically what being told is that, no, we cannot get you anything, but there also no promise for anything in the future. You know, it could be that if the preeminence money comes, we still don't get a percentage raise. We are not given any guarantees. You know, we're basically told, no, you're going to get zero. And I mean, $1,000, what will $1,000, you know, most of it is going to go into taxes, right? What is it going to do to you? Not very much.
So I understand we're not offering an exciting package. I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah,
I get it.
But why doesn't the president come out and say, okay, here is what we did? Because UCF got a lot of money. They got a lot, $35 million they got last year, extra money. Where did it go? I mean, well, look at, you know, why doesn't say, you know, faculty have been hired in all kinds of places, okay? Was enough thought given to that to see that these were the priorities, or we were on a hiring spree and we didn't worry about how that would affect the people who are already here? I mean, there has to be some communication. We are not getting any communication. I mean, people are willing to understand. But also the thing is, how can you acknowledge people at the top getting such raises and then saying that there's no money for you? I mean, they should have all refused. They should have said, look, there is no money here, so nobody is going to get a raise. You know, that would have been a different story, that nobody at UCF got a raise. Okay, we have to put up with it, but it looks very different. I mean, just imagine, you know, think about it in a family, okay? All right, the oldest kid gets all the money and nobody else gets the rest, right? They are going to be discontent. And so basically, you know, if nobody had gotten a raise, okay, that's not a good situation. But, you know, we'll put up with it. But no, we know people get raises, big raises, half a million. And, you know, so, and we're talking about not having, you know, a 2.1 million for a 1% raise, or, 4.2 million for a 2% raise, and so on. So you know, it really, we could do the calculation and just take the funds that have gone in to give raises to administrators, and then see if that doesn't add up to 2.1 million, okay, or even more. And if we then divide all that up, then everybody could have had a little raise, okay? So, you know, I think, again, I have to say, Chuck, I deal with numbers day and night, okay? So that's my field, numbers, okay? Math, physics, and math, right? So numbers are always there. And so numbers just don't add up. You know, we can take the pool of money and say, well, what if that could have all been divided? We could have all gotten a little bit, and people may not have been very happy, but they would have at least said, okay, we all got a little bit. But no, you'll get nothing, but we will get a lot. Okay, some of us will get a lot, but then others will get nothing. So, you know, I think that is what is really bothering everyone. And honestly, you since I'm the one who's speaking here, you probably think that I'm the one who's most angry, but actually people are much angrier than I am. And they don't, you know.
Yeah. We understand.
And they don't even want to, you know. Right. So anyway, that I just think that you will convey the message that this inequality that is being created, and it just gets codified, you know? And if nobody got it, okay, all right, it's a bad year. But no, that's not the case. Some people are going to get a lot of it, but not all. So I'm sorry.
Again, thank you for sharing what's on your mind and on the minds of
people.
You. I appreciate you sharing that. I think, I don't remember if we got this, but at the last bargaining session, did you have some data on specific salaries that you thought had been increased?
We have a list.
Did we get a copy of that?
Did I not send that to you?
I don't remember seeing it.
Okay, I think in the slide I had about five or six people, but we do have a list. Let's see. Does Matthew? Do you have your hand up? Did you want? Okay.
Okay. I was just going to add that it was in the PowerPoint.
Go ahead, Matthew. I'll yield the floor to you.
It's in the PowerPoint. It is in the PowerPoint.
Thank you. Okay. We'll go take a look at that. There may be explanations for some of those. So I want to look at those examples that you provided. And we may have some comments on that.
It is not the case that
administrators got a 22% raise across the board. That did not happen.
No, not across the board. I think what happened.
I'm as mad as anybody.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, we don't have every
Is this what you're looking for? I just didn't know. Is this the slide you were looking for?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Examples too.
So we had some examples, but we didn't have everyone.
No, okay? I understand.
Yeah. I just don't know which. Is there a page that you want me to look at, or?
I think if you go down. Up. It was actually before this. Go up.
This is the top.
Okay, go next. And please change the spelling of morale. Okay.
That's good. This is posted from your
PowerPoint. I know. Okay, there it is, Dad. That's good. And then the next one. Okay. But then right after this, we have a list of names. That's not there.
Is this what was from your PowerPoint?
The thumbnail slides.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll send it back to you. So you'll have for your record.
I posted, this was from the website where I posted the handout that was given. I just posted as a PDF.
I'll send you the slides and I can send you just that slide or the whole set of slides. But when you look at it, there are, so for example, one case would be of a person who was a faculty member and then became an administrator. And so in that case, you see a big difference, right? We are not saying that everyone that, you know, there've been across the board 20% raise. It's just that when we took a list of administrators, say 30 administrators, and then went down and looked at their salaries over the last 3 years, and then computed what has been the raise from, let's say, what they had in 2021 and what they have in 2025. And that is how this was computed. I'll certainly send it back to you, and then it can be posted, and that will give me a chance to correct that spelling also. And so we'll do that. But each case would be some explanation. But I think, this is all public information, right? We got the information from the web, so. When people are doing that, they are looking at it. They are the ones providing us this information. And when they look at that, they say that, okay, but look, you know, this person got 22% over the last 4 years. This person got 45%. This person, and so on. There may be many reasons, but the point still remains that people who are making very high salary you know, and these are all, most of the people we're talking about are making over 200,000, and that they are getting these raises. The, you know, lowest raise was something like 15%. There were very few who did not get any. Actually, I didn't know, don't know of anyone who didn't get any raise. And then when you look at faculty and see that, you know, there has been hardly any movement there, that really looks bad. And these numbers are there. So I will send you that slide.
Yeah, we'd appreciate that. We'll take a look at that. That's helpful to have that. I think the last thing that I would want to mention, we understand that at other universities in the state that there have been different offers that have been made. And Matthew's here this afternoon. Rebecca Richards and I actually went to the Senate Personnel Committee today and talked a little bit about budget. And one of the points that I made is universities are in different circumstances. So just because one institution is able to provide an increase of a certain amount doesn't mean that everybody in the state is able to do that. And we even see with some of the examples that were shared this morning that the committee had, different universities in the state had different amounts that they had offered. And admittedly, you know, we're at the bottom. We're not contesting that at all. But it's not the case just because somebody can give a 3% increase that everybody ought to be able to give a 3% increase. It'd be nice if it worked out that way, but it doesn't, because every university's circumstances are different. They're different.
Yeah, but the thing is that they worked at it. They made it a priority, and they went through it, and they came up with a solution. Our administrators don't even want to come and talk to us about it. And you know, and they make their decisions. In the last 5 years, all decisions have been made at the top. Faculty have had very little say in what goes on at UCF. This was not the case at UCF when I joined UCF. This was not the case at UCF even 10 years ago. This was not the case at UCF 15 years ago. But in the last 5 to 6 years, every decision has been taken. It's top down. And people have not been, you know, consulted. Faculty have not been consulted. They have not been given any explanation. I don't think, you know, basically we're being treated like herds. This is not how UCF used to be. It was a place where you could go, faculty could go and tell administrators where they wanted the university to be going and what they could do. And we worked together and we brought UCF to where it is. This is not how it has been going on for the last 5 years. I'm sorry. There's been no recognition that there are, you know, people, bargaining unit members, faculty, who know a little bit about the business and could provide some ideas about how the place could be run better. But that's, we are not consulted. And I think this is something that would be good to point out to President Cartwright, that faculty feel very neglected. And this is not how things were at UCF not too long ago. We were included. There were town halls, there were various opportunities in which our voices were heard. Our voices have not been heard. So it is not just the salaries. It's just that we have not been reckoned with. We were basically treated as, you know, herds that are there to get the job done, but that we have no say in anything. This is not how, there's no faculty governance anymore, shared governance anymore. This is a problem. This is a problem. The problem is structural, that, you know, we are not being included. And you know, we are willing to sacrifice, provided we are, you know, brought into confidence, provided our voices are heard, provided we are asked and we, you know, our contributions not only are recognized, but, you know, this place is, you know, administrators will come and go, but it's the faculty members who will be here, right? And they want to have a say in how things are done. But no, we are not being taken into consideration. Our voices are not being heard. And this is something that's independent of which college we are in. And so this is a big change at UCF. And this change has happened in the last 5 years.
Okay, well, again, thank you for sharing your thoughts. We look forward to receiving that new proposal from you, and
okay,
I'll be sharing it appropriately.
Like, yeah.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts, Talat. It's very clear what your views are, and I know you're representing everybody in the bargaining unit.
You think I'll be allowed back in, or shall I stay in Spain?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to contact the State Department this afternoon, see what I can do about your passport.
One thing good is that I've never been on social media. Okay.
All right. We look forward to having you you back on campus, and hope that all your travels are safe.
Thank you so much.
Do we have anything else to cover this afternoon?
Robert? I think Robert is taking a nap. Are you taking a nap, Robert? No, okay.
All right, so shall I turn off the recording?
Yeah, I think
well, so. Just a second.
Yeah.
I guess this is our last bargaining session of 2025.
That's true.
So we'll be getting together. I think it's January 21st, I believe, is the next time we'll be getting together. And we want to wish everybody a very happy holiday season, whatever the holidays are, Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever it is. We wish everybody a very great holiday season, and we hope to all get some rest during the time that the university is shut down.
Well, yeah, happy holidays, and happy New Year from all of us.
Thank you.
And we look forward to working with you in January.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And if I understand correctly, I believe that this is the last bargaining session that Dr. Castanello is the chief negotiator for your team. Is that true?
That's what he is threatening. So I think, maybe Robert, you're okay. Yeah, I think
but he's napping now.
He's napping now, right?
May I stop the recording?
Yes.
Just one moment.
Well, happy New Year and happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you. And if it is indeed Dr. Castanello's last time here, we appreciate having him as the chief negotiator and working with him on this. And we wish him all the best in his new role as the statewide president of
Utah. Thanks, Robert. All right. Okay.
Thank you all.
All right.
Have a great holiday season.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.